It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. We have two guests now keeping a close eye on this U.S. Senate race in Pennsylvania. Selena Zito is a national political reporter whose work appears in The Atlantic, New York Post, and The Hill. Selena, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Also joining us is John Baer, political columnist for Philly.com. John, welcome to you as well.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
So before we look at some of the latest polling numbers and what it's going to take for one candidate to pull ahead in this close race, you've both been covering politics for a while. To both of you, what has surprised you about the Toomey-McGinty campaign? Selena, let's start with you.
Well, I guess nothing has surprised me so far in that I always expected for Toomey that this would be a close race. Even when he won in 2010 in a very good year for Republicans, it was still a narrow win by 2 percentage points. And so he was always going to start off with a tight race. He started out ahead of her. She has gradually eroded any lead that he had. But, you know, I think that for both of them, part of their win depends on what's going on at the top of the ticket with either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And for McGinty, what she doesn't want to see happen, at least based on past performances in the state, is she does not want to see Clinton's lead with over Trump to go below 4 percentage points. Just sort of think of the Gore-Santorum race, where Pennsylvanians picked Gore. He won the state by 4 percentage points, but they also ushered in Rick Santorum. And I see the same sort of somewhat kind of numbers playing out in this year's race.
John?
Yeah, Selena's right. Selena knows what she's talking about, as usual. The race, Kevin, is a national race because it, by many predictors, could determine control of the Senate going forward. So there is a ton of money being poured in, both through the campaigns and through political action committees. This is probably going to be, if it's not the most expensive next to Ohio, it's going to be the first or second most expensive Senate race in the country. And Selena made reference to the top of the ticket. That's also right on point. If Hillary Clinton can get the kind of voter turnout that the Obama machine managed the last two cycles, and if a ground game matters anymore, she should have an edge in Pennsylvania, and that edge would accrue to the benefit of McGinty. And remember, the only other thing I would add is volatility. There is such volatility in this political cycle that you can see events or an event swing things in a hurry. I mean, if you look at the Quinnipiac University poll, which is a fairly substantial and respected poll, in late June and early July, Quinnipiac has Pat Toomey up by double digits. The same Quinnipiac poll in late August, early September has Pat Toomey up by one. So there's clearly something going on. It can't all be related to the top of the ticket, but Selena's correct. I mean, a large segment of it is.
That one that you referred to was, I believe, 46% Toomey, 45% McGinty. So the number of undecideds, as one might expect as we get closer and closer, is shrinking. What I'd like to ask you, you said a lot of money is being poured into this campaign from outside. 34 Senate seats up for grabs, 24 held by Republicans. How desperately does the GOP want to hold on to Pennsylvania? How desperately do they need to hold on to Pennsylvania? Selena?
Well, I mean, Pennsylvania is sort of a very important state in terms of keeping that majority in the U.S. Senate, one that they just captured in 2014, and for the first time, I think, in like 12 years before that. And so, you know, you're right about the money. You're going to see a lot of bodies invested into doing a lot of voter contact, a lot of door knocking, a lot of social media contact. And, you know, you look at Ohio and you see that Portman is just at the point of putting away Ted Strickland. And so Ohio's sort of getting out of the realm of possibility for the Democrats. And in Florida, I suspect at the end of the day that Rubio is going to be able to win that seat or hold his seat, the seat that he gave up to run for president and didn't decide until the last day before the deadline came through to run for his own seat, sort of disrupting things in the state. And I also keep an eye on North Carolina as well. This is typically a safe Republican year, but this is anything, I mean, Republican state, but this is anything short of not a normal year, not a normal election year at all. Not a wave. I don't see a wave against the Republicans in the House and the Senate, but what you pointed out, there's a lot of volatility, and we're not quite sure who it ends up favoring in the end.
John, Selena mentioned some other states. Have the Republicans prioritized, well, this one is, we want these all these states to hold on to these U.S. Senate seats, but we really need this one, or is it just a matter of we need two out of three, we need three out of these four, what have you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is some of that, Kevin, but, I mean, largely when you need four, you do as much as you can to get five or six. Now, that's not going to happen, and I'm still not convinced that the Senate's in that much jeopardy for Republicans. I mean, we'll see. And as I said, it is very difficult to talk about what's going to happen because when things happen, numbers move so quickly. I mean, the collapse nationally of Clinton's numbers in just the past two or three weeks is a very good example of that. So if you ask what's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 weeks, it's really difficult to say. But if things go as they are and just kind of level out and we fight this out the rest of the way, both in the Senate race and in the presidential race, then I really don't see the Senate turning and obviously not the House either.
We're discussing the U.S. Senate race in Pennsylvania with John Baer, political columnist for Philly.com, and Selena Zito, a national political reporter. The Quinnipiac poll that we mentioned a little earlier, McGuinty has a lead among independents, 46-42%. Toomey's strength in Democratic areas, men and white voters, McGuinty, women and non-white. Any surprises in those particular facts that I pointed out? Selena.
No, not really. Toomey needs to up his numbers among independents. I'm not quite sure if this is a typical base election because there's so many sort of cross-pollination right now with Trump support, where he's getting a lot of conservative white Democrats supporting him in blue-collar areas in the state. So he needs to sort of pad his support among independents, and I suspect we will see that with probably a number of events that he will do that shows that he is a independent operator in the Senate. I mean, that's what I would be looking for. And I would look for McGuinty to probably go negative on him with things that are typically attached to the furthest right of the Republican Party. And I think that that's what we're going to sort of look at as the days close towards the election.
A rare, if not only to this date occasion, both candidates in Pittsburgh today, Bernie Sanders campaigning for McGuinty, Pat Toomey saying he's trying to stop the, quote, extreme McGuinty-Sanders agenda, end quote. Sanders did well in the Pennsylvania presidential primary. And if he campaigned hard for the person who beat him, Hillary Clinton, that might help her. But can Sanders' popularity in Pennsylvania help a Senate candidate, John?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. Remember, a Democratic primary is a lot different than a general election in Pennsylvania. Bernie Sanders would not do well in a general election in Pennsylvania. We're just not that kind of state. Will it help her among her base? Sure. Will it help her with the independents that you were talking about? Probably not. And the interesting thing to me in the deep in the polling that the party, that the campaigns are doing, McGuinty is trailing Clinton's numbers. and even in the suburbs of Philly, where you think she'd be pretty strong. And they attribute that at this point to simply name ID, that people aren't yet quite focused. And there's been so much noise at the top of the ticket with Trump and Clinton taking up all the oxygen. And there may be some truth to that. But I gotta think that in the closing weeks, both these candidates, and especially McGinty, will be pressing really hard for a lot of attention, as Selena said, both on the ground with door-to-door stuff and on TV, if there's still enough spots to buy after the presidential race gets done.
Yeah, Selena?
Oh, I completely agree with him. I do think actually that the Sanders move in Western Pennsylvania, having him come here, I would have taken him to Philly more than Pittsburgh, because, you know, sort of Pittsburgh, or if you went to Scranton or any of the southwestern counties, or Lackawanna, Luzerne, you know, his stances, meaning Sanders, on coal and on energy, where it's, you know, sort of booming out here, you know, it doesn't really help her at all. He would be better served going to a more cosmopolitan area to help draw out voters, as opposed to southwestern PA.
All right, so that brings up the next question. We talked about demographics. Let's talk about the geography. Why isn't Pat Toomey out in southwestern Pennsylvania more frequently? Because some of the numbers would suggest, at least in adjacent counties to Allegheny County, that he could do pretty well here. John?
Well,
Selena.
Well, I would say that, and I'll say this quickly, I'm sorry, that was directed at me. I just think that at some point in your campaign, you understand your voter, who your voter is and who's turning out. And you understand more so who you either get out or who you want to encourage to stay home. So that's why I would say he's probably less in Western Pennsylvania, more out in Philly, because he needs to get those suburban voters to turn out for him.
John?
Yeah, and particularly, I mean, most statewide races in Pennsylvania are ultimately decided by the suburbs of Philadelphia, not only because of the numbers there, but because of the mix of ideology. And that's an area that Pat Toomey really needs to focus on. And, you know, his stance on guns as a rare Republican who actually supports moving forward with some sensible gun control, such as background checks, is a really big plus there. So that area will see a lot of targeted messages regarding the support he's gotten from the Gabby Giffords group and from Michael Bloomberg's group. To just say, look, I mean, he's not one of these far-right Republicans. He's not Donald Trump. He's somebody that we ought to keep in the Senate. So I think his to answer your question about the Southwest, I don't think that Selena's right. That's not where his voters are necessarily going to be, but the voters that he needs most are in suburban Philadelphia.
And of course, the former Arizona congresswoman and the former mayor of New York who have come out at least in some support for Pat Toomey. 1 minute left, folks, and I would like your take on this. You both use the term volatile. So over the next 7 weeks, do we expect the polls to fluctuate a lot? What do the candidates need to do, 1 minute, folks, in these last 7 weeks to pull ahead? Selena, you can go first.
I think for Toomey, he needs to really draw some sharp contrast between him and McGinty. He probably needs to go negative on her, and define her. I would have suggested he did that a little earlier, but that's where I'm going to see, where expect to see from Toomey. And McGinty is going to need to, you know, get more support and get more name ID out there in Philadelphia. As John said, that's where the big vote numbers are, and she's still unknown in that part of the state.
John, 20 seconds, please.
Shine in new debates. There'll be at least two of them aired statewide. And then work your ground, get out your vote, and don't do anything crazy.
John Baer is political columnist for Philly.com. Selena Zito is the national political reporter whose work appears in The Atlantic, New York Post, and The Hill. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
And for this week, that's The Confluence, where the news comes together. Our engineer is Tom Hurley. production assistance from Vince Balestrina, the producer of the program, Marcus Charleston. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for listening. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good week of good news.